B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it all out. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
All right, getting cold outside. Frost warning tonight. See that beetle? Get you some Coors Light. Weekend's here, folks. Brought to you by Coors Light, official beer of football Sundays. Grab an 18-pack, a 30-pack, maybe a dozen beers, and keep them on your deck. Those mounds will be blue by morning. Yeah.
Woo. Phil Perry is with us. Hi, Phil.
Hey, fellas. How
Phil
we doing?
Perry, NBC Sports Boston. We got a number of things to get to. I want to start with this, if you don't mind. Michael Bennett's role on the Patriots defense. I was just reading this from Henry McKenna of the Patriots Wire.
Good job by Henry. Got that one-on-one.
Got a one-on-one with Michael Bennett. And Henry McKenna writes, Patriots defensive end Michael Bennett is doing something he hasn't done much during his career. He's been watching his defense from the sideline. In his first season with the team, Bennett is off to a relatively quiet start on allowed defense, which has been ranked first in practically every meaningful category with 6.8 points allowed per game, 243 yards allowed per game, and Bennett has started just one of the first four games. In week four against the Bills, he saw playing time behind defensive linemen Lawrence Guy, Adam Butler, and Danny Shelton. Let me just stop before I get to his quote. We expected big things out of this player.
Sure
did. This is a big offseason transaction for the team. The departure of Trey Flowers, the addition of Michael Bennett. That was sort of the, okay, one guy leaves, but they went out and they got Michael Bennett. That was how it was viewed.
One for one. That's what everybody said.
One for one.
I'll tell you, though. You didn't hear me say that, but continue. Go on.
But a lot of people said that. Well, Bennett was asked about his role on defense. The zero role, quote, Bennett interrupted mid-question. What's the zero role? I'm joking, he told Patriots Wire at his locker on Thursday. He wouldn't clarify what he meant. There is the zero technique for a defensive tackle. Bennett lined up there during training camp, but hasn't been playing much at that spot during the regular season. So perhaps he is referring to his playing time, which hasn't been significant by his standards. Is Michael Bennett upset with his playing time through the first four games? The zero role is what he had to say yesterday in the Patriots locker room. We, on this show, I think, Zoe, we hadn't talked much about it on the air, but I think off the air, we just sort of assumed they were easing him in.
I don't know. I just
veteran
think
player.
He physically is totally right yet.
Yeah, managing
spotting him right now. It's sort of like he's the guy you're going to need for that stretch run.
Bingo.
Yeah, I think it's managing him.
I would not expect him to say that. That makes it sound like he's unhappy.
Well, then maybe he's been communicated to differently.
He's been dealing with a shoulder issue. Yeah. He was listed as a full participant, though, this week in practice.
They've allowed him to do what he wants to do in the offseason, work out how he does. Say, you need a day here or there, personal day, he takes it. No problem. Nobody says anything.
So I'll read off his percentage snaps played through 4 weeks here. Week one, 55.2. Week two, 40.3. Week three, 38. Week four, 30.4. So in a month's time,
it's going down.
He's gone down about 25% in terms of the snaps played, overall snaps played.
He hasn't been bad when he's played.
He hasn't been bad. I'll say two things about Michael Bennett. Number one is, and we had this conversation as it related to Dietrich Wise before the season started, which was, this looks like a 3-4 defense, and Dietrich Wise isn't really a 3-4 defensive end. How does he fit? How does he fit? Is he going to be an interior rusher? I don't know. They've got Michael Bennett. They've got Adam Butler. Is he really going to play over those guys? I don't know how much he's going to play. I thought they might try to trade Dietrich Wise before the start of the season.
That's funny. On a couple plays of the week, too, Bill had, there's one where Bennett went inside. He took two guys down, and we even talked about it. Like, he's He understands his role. So, he's playing his role.
So Michael Bennett is built more like a 4-3 end, but everyone looked at him and said, this guy's an interior pass rusher. Look at what he did with the Seahawks. He was mostly on the edge in a 4-3 for the Eagles, but he can work inside. Clearly, obviously, Patriots saw it firsthand in that Super Bowl in 2014. So number one is I don't think you're going to see him playing on first down, essentially. You're not going to see him play a whole lot on rushing downs because they have these bigger bodies that are built more for this defense. That's number one. But you're playing a bunch of offenses that are trying to come back from huge deficits and that are in passing situations all the time. And so you would expect Michael Bennett to be out there for just about all of them. The second point I'll make is Adam Butler has been the interior pass rusher of choice for the Patriots this year. Adam Butler, third year, undrafted, out of Vanderbilt.
Calhoun's been repping,
don't
too.
Say it like it's Adam, a bad thing.
Adam, I mean, on paper, were you looking at Adam Butler and Michael Bennett before the season started and saying, I could see Adam Butler being one of the best players on this defense through the first month, and Michael Bennett will be playing 30% of the snaps?
No, but what does it matter? You know, who plays the best deserves to be in there.
Oh, of course, but we're talking about why isn't Bennett playing? So that's a reason.
I get it. I get what you're saying as it relates to Bennett, but if you're
Butler's been great.
If you're playing well, I don't care about your pedigree or where you're drafted or, you know, what school you're at.
So don't focus on that.
Yeah, I'm
just saying, look at the discrepancy in the name recognition element of it. So Adam Butler has been the guy.
We would expect Michael Bennett, to go back to what I was saying in the beginning, in the offseason, how we viewed this was Michael Bennett was going to be a real factor. No, you're right. We would have never in a million years been thinking Adam Butler would be playing ahead of Michael Bennett.
And to get to your point about Trey Flowers out, Michael Bennett in, where did we see Trey Flowers when the Patriots started using these, I call them these amoeba fronts, these playground fronts, whatever you want to call them, where they're walking around. You had Trey Flowers on the center for a lot of those.
Oh, for some of those,
One guy down and the rest of the defense sort of walking around him.
Yeah.
Now who's that guy?
When he's in, though.
It's been Adam Butler almost every single time. He's been the guy at the zero technique, which is why it was kind of funny. Michael Bennett answered that way. At the zero technique.
Zero roll.
So Henry used to work for us at NBC Sports Boston. He came by because we were both there late last night. And he said, do you think he would be talking about that technique on the defensive line? Because we have seen him there, as he mentions in the piece. You think that's what he was talking? I said, I don't think so, Henry. Those guys aren't usually talking in those terms to us media folk. In general, anyway, you're never hearing them talk about three technique, one technique, zero technique, because they think all that stuff's over our head. But number two, I think he has been disappointed in his role. To me, it's been pretty clear. There have been many times this year where he has, especially since the season's really started, where he hasn't been interested in talking to us after games. I mean, they shut out the Dolphins 43-0. And I understand guys want to go see their families. They want to go. They just want to leave. You're on the road. You just want to get out of there. But I asked him after the Dolphins game, hey, you got a second? He had just had his first sack as a member of the Patriots. Talk to him about the defensive performance that day.
So you think he's pissed?
Gave us the no-go. Shut us down. So I would say there is a good chance he is not thrilled with how he's been used so far.
No, great. Now Michael Bennett's upset. Wonderful.
How else do you read in that quote?
But it's not like they're lacking or slacking up front. They're so freaking deep.
Oh, they're great.
I just wouldn't have expected this. I thought they were just managing him.
I thought he embraced this role.
I thought he was embraced. I would be happy if I were him.
I'm challenged.
You know, you're dealing with some injury stuff. You got a team that's sort of easing you in.
I don't wear shoulder
pads. They're going to use you more as the season goes on. I figured, what a great landing spot if you're him. You get here. They give you a raise. They give you more money walking through the door. They give you exactly what you asked for. And you get to play less. And you get to show up to camp late. Oh, you got something going on? No problem. We're totally understanding, which he gave them credit for, and said it's nice to play for Bill Belichick and a guy who treats you like a human being and understands you have a family and some off-the-field things. That was really nice. That's what he said walking through the door at the start of camp. So he gets that sort of veteran treatment walking in. He gets more money walking through the door. He gets to train on his own in Hawaii in the offseason on his own. He wasn't here at all in the offseason, right? No?
He showed up, I think, 3 days late to training camp.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He was taking care of something back in Hawaii.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but I'm saying he wasn't also part of the
offseason. No, he wasn't part of the OTAs. I believe he was there for mandatory minicamp.
Okay. But he, other than that, he was doing his own thing, which they were cool with. They knew he was going to do that. They give him a raise, let him do his own thing for the most part. He shows up to camp late, which they were okay with. They're easing him in, and now a month in, he's upset about not playing enough.
Okay, I'll say this, though.
Come on.
He hasn't been a disruptive force. You're making it sound like he's trying to, you know, he's burrowing away at the
so what? What are you mad
about? The chemistry inside the locker
room. You're on a 4-0 team. You're in a great situation, and you're a veteran that's getting taken care of.
And I don't know if he's mad, but I would just say, how else do you read into that quote? The zero role?
I'm certainly not happy.
Well, this is part of the problem, too. I mean, like, I wanted to see, if I was interviewing, what was the face? How did he look at it? What was the tone of it? You know?
I think even if you were joking,
he could talk his way out of this. I mean,
oh sure. I mean, players can talk their way out of anything. I just, that's how I read that from Henry. And again, I say it's a good get from Henry because the guy just hasn't been all that of it. We haven't heard much from him. So, you know, right or wrong, I read into that a little bit as well. Because he was available before the season, he was available during training camp. He was great with us. And we haven't heard much from him lately.
All right,
so I wonder if that's a window into how he's feeling.
There's some new reporting on Emmanuel Sanders, and there is a link to the Patriots. We'll tell you who's reporting it and what they're saying, and we'll get Phil Perry's thoughts on it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Perry is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. The latest on Emmanuel Sanders. Jay Glazer's pretty good, right?
Yes.
Pretty good, right?
Insider. Say he's about 90%, 80%, right?
Pretty good.
He's dropping a hint today about the possible interest the Patriots will have in trading for a wide receiver. He does a mailbag for The Athletic. He's saying it wouldn't shock him if the Patriots went after a wideout like the Broncos' Emmanuel Sanders. He notes the Patriots tried to trade for Randall Cobb last season. Did we know that?
No.
Ringing a bell, to be honest with you.
I mean, hold on.
There was rumors of OBJ.
Time out. Did we know this?
No.
They went after Randall Cobb?
Is he better than Golden Tate?
Is that Golden Tate or better?
It was OBJ.
And the question is this, I'll just read it directly from the mailbag. Hey, Jay, do you see the Patriots targeting a receiver such as Emmanuel Sanders at the trade deadline? That's from David P. He says, it wouldn't shock me. They've obviously signed big-name receivers the last couple of years in free agency, and they tried to trade for Randall Cobb last year but were rebuffed. Obviously, they're looking for another receiver there, which is why they brought in Antonio Brown, so it wouldn't surprise me. That's from Jay Glazer. Now, that's not saying they've called or they're interested, but it wouldn't shock Jay Glazer if they call on Emmanuel Sanders.
That's just somebody who's keeping up with what the Patriots have been doing the last couple of years, and it's very obvious if you're following this team that they've been trying to add talent however they can at that position for multiple years now, going back to Kenny Britt and Eric Decker and throwing whatever they can against the wall and seeing what sticks. The reason why this would make more sense to me than someone like, say, Stephon Diggs, who we've talked about the last couple of days at our place, NBC Sports Boston, is the flexibility involved. You have a player here who's in the last year of his deal. He's on a bad team. This is a team that is, in all likelihood, unless he loves it there, in all likelihood going to lose the player this offseason via free agency. And so you look at it and you say, well, why wouldn't he be available? They're not in the hunt. They're not trying to win anything this year. He should be available at the deadline. And he would cost you much less than somebody like Stephon Diggs. If you look at last year, and I think this is probably the best comp, last year, Golden Tate traded at the deadline. Last year of his deal, wanted to move on, was coming off a 1,000-yard season, was coming off a really good year in 2017. Lions traded him at the deadline to the Eagles for a third-round pick. That's all it cost. Now, it's you're only getting half the season out of the guy, but a third-round pick for somebody who could potentially change your offense? Now, you compare him to Sanders. Sanders is coming off a year where he was hurt. Didn't come close to 1,000 yards last year. About the same age. Golden Tate was 29 when he got traded. Emmanuel Sanders is now into his early 30s. So you compare those two trades, potential trades, I guess, together. Emmanuel Sanders shouldn't cost the Patriots more than a third-round pick if they wanted to deal for him at the deadline. There's some cap implications and there's some maneuvering they would have to do to be able to bring him on. But between the fact that we know the Patriots were interested in this guy a few years ago and tried to sign him as a restricted free agent, the Steelers ended up keeping him. The fact that we know they want receiver help and the fact that it looks like it wouldn't cost them very much. Why wouldn't this make sense? Right. This makes all the sense
in
the world.
If they were to make a move at the deadline.
It's our type of player.
After 8 weeks, the money would be $5.125 million.
Right. That's what's left of that's what will be left of his base salary at that point in the year. He's making about $10 million in base salary this year. You would have half of that on your books.
That's a manageable number.
It's a real manageable number.
Completely.
You got to pay AB $9 million for like one game.
But yeah, they owe him $9 million.
You could look at it and say,
you owe him $9 million. Cut the check already.
You could look at it and say, okay, well, the Patriots only have two. Where does that extra $3 million come from? Could come from all sorts of places.
That's not a lot of money.
Very easy to figure out. You give Devin McCourty an extension if he wants one. Guy's playing tremendous football right now after it felt like maybe considering retirement before the Super Bowl. Remember that whole deal?
Yeah.
You could give him an extension. You could give your guy, Defensive Player of the Week, Kyle Van Noy, an extension if he's interested. And all of a sudden, you've got, I would think, you would have right around what you would need. So whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, the other big name, and I don't see him as great a fit for the Patriots, but he's talented, and they need talent, in my opinion, especially at that position, would be A.J. Green. Last year of his deal, bad team. The base salary would be a little bit more. The cap it would be a little bit more. It would be about $6 million versus about $5 million. But again, shouldn't cost you more than a third-round pick. That's kind of the going rate. The Patriots are loaded with those. They got all sorts of compensatory picks coming their way. Third-rounders. So it would almost surprise me if they don't come up with one of these two players by the deadline.
Let's go to Nick, who's in Plymouth today. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. I keep hearing all this wide receiver talk. Would they ever kick the tires on one of the guys I've always wanted to see, but have Larry Fitz on the team? I know his cap number is a lot higher, but it's his last year. Uh-huh. Same scenario, throw him the defensive guy or a pick or somebody that you have to negotiate like Van Noy or maybe even Bennett.
Well, I think he was at the Hertz counter at Logan Airport. Didn't someone spot him there?
I feel like I've seen that on Twitter. Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald is firmly on record saying he will not play for any other team other than the Arizona Cardinals.
He has said that. Do we just hold him to that and his word is good?
Well, I do, because he's at the end. He's 15 years into his career, and I don't think he is. If he was going to get traded and he was going to go elsewhere, I think it would have happened by now. I think it would have happened years ago.
So
he's had plenty of opportunity to leave. He could have left. He could have gone elsewhere. Mm-hmm. He could have gotten paid elsewhere. He could have been traded. He could have done any of those things. He is not, and now he's at the very end, and I don't think that he's going to go elsewhere.
So I have a little bit of pause here.
Yeah, watch
is Curran said this on the podcast that we recorded yesterday. It's online now. Larry Fitzgerald's dad is a sports writer.
He is.
So he's at the Super Bowl. He's around.
I was a line behind him.
We see him all the time. Curran saw him, I believe this was a couple years ago now. And they talked about how the fact that Larry Fitzgerald to the Patriots is always this rumor. And his dad didn't flat out reject the idea of it and sort of acknowledged that they've been these two people at the bar kind of making eyes at each other from across the way for multiple years now, and they've just never had that opportunity to connect. Now, what you say is true, Beetle. I mean, he continues to re-sign with the team. He could have demanded a trade, I would think, at this point, and they would have granted him that wish. But he's 36. He is in the last year of his contract. If you're him and you love being in Arizona and Arizona's out of the mix and you look at it, and the Patriots are offering a pick or something to the Cardinals, and he says to himself, you know what? I love it in Arizona, but it's only 2 months. I mean, 2 months in New England. Chance to win a ring? Man, yeah, you know what?
Even at 36, he's still averaging 13 yards.
He's great. He's great.
He's good.
Yeah, through four games, he's got a total of 23 catches.
I'm not going to get excited over it.
He's still putting up numbers.
No, I mean, listen, all of these.
What happened by now? I think they would have found a way to make that happen if that was really good. Both sides wanted that.
All of these are whatever the percentage chances of landing any of them. But I think it's worth talking about because the Patriots clearly are exhausting all options. I think that's safe to say. And I think it's safe to say that they need help there.
What's going on with Josh Gordon?
Knee. Had to get the knee wrapped at halftime in Buffalo. Didn't look great. Had that 131-yard catch.
Did not look right in Buffalo.
And he's limited with a knee. Right? He's been wearing the compression sleeve on the knee in the locker room this week. If I'm the Patriots and...
They may have to do something.
They don't do this.
We'll talk about that.
All right.
We'll pick it up on the other side. Josh Gordon, but also... Bill Belichick on the kicking situation. He talked about Steven Gostkowski this morning and Phil Perry's thoughts on the new guy, Mike Nugent. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction. Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's going down. I'm yelling timber. You better move. You better dance. Let's make a night. You won't remember. I'll be the one. You won't forget.
Phil Perry with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe is asking Phil about Josh Gordon and what's wrong with Josh Gordon. As you said, Phil, it's his knee. Got a problem with his knee.
Got the knee. He had the finger a couple weeks ago. He had a bad drop in Buffalo.
We haven't heard from him.
So he's banged up and Edelman's banged up and Gordon's not talking. For the most part.
We didn't hear from him last week. Like we heard from him this week.
He talked this week. You just talked, what, yesterday?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he talked this week.
Yeah, I saw him
okay. And so
but he's been
that's
quiet.
Back on. We missed him last week.
He's been quiet.
Unusually quiet.
It's been a little bit quiet. So I just wonder, and the defense affords them so much room for error now at this point, offensively and special teams-wise. Would you ever consider, and it felt like they kind of did this to a certain extent in terms of targets, where Brady wasn't necessarily peppering Gordon or Edelman in a game where they really needed both of those guys because they're both clearly banged up. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Do you continue to do that over the next 3 weeks?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
they're going to manage games they're going to desperately try and get through this Thursday night football game next week. So you get this
then you Thursday
get the Giants,
night.
Yep. And then you got 11 days to get ready for the Jets. And just sort of get things right, or players right.
I think it's crucial.
Seems at times, like that little slip screen down line of scrimmage, that audible, let's get it to Josh if we don't have coverage on him, because let's get him going, you know? I just worry about him.
I just would say, listen, I think people assume they're done with the Bills, great defense, and yes, it was. Now the next 3 weeks, offensively, it's going to be back to 30 points a night, just like it was through the first 3 weeks of the season. I would say maybe pump the brakes on those expectations. They should be much better. The Redskins are one of the worst defenses in the NFL. But your two best receivers are hurt. And it's more important to you to make sure that those guys are healthy long term than it is to put up 40 this weekend or next Thursday or the Sunday after that against the Jets or Monday, whenever it is. So I would just say I don't think the offense is necessarily going to look all that explosive these next few weeks. And I think it might be to the team's benefit because you desperately need players at that position, that receiver position, to be good for the long haul. It doesn't matter these next 3 weeks. Let the defense win these next few games for you. Try to get through it healthy and then get into that tough part of your schedule with your important players feeling good.
Quick update, Mo Money Chanel. Let me know that Mo Money Chanel also can confirm those Randall Cobb rumors of a year ago.
Mo Money, Mo Problems.
I mean, if Mo Money's hearing that, good as gold. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Mo Money Chanel's on top of it. So that's the word there. Also has Broncos and Packers currently in talks on Manny Sanders. That's what he's got. That's what his people are telling him.
Well, you got, what's his name with Turf Toe?
Makes sense. Yeah, Davante Adams.
Yeah, Davante Adams.
Said the Davante Adams injury sparked or started the conversation, as he put it.
Got to get more money.
More money, Chanel. Do a big time reporting there, Phil.
Good for him. Can we beat you?
Put you guys out of business.
More money.
That's good.
With this rumor mill.
First Glazer, then more money.
Yes.
Shrug your shoulders and you say, what's the diff?
Is there a difference?
I'd say the same thing.
What's the diff?
Is there a difference? Let's get to this from this morning. Bill Belichick on Steven Gostkowski.
Look, through the years I've been lucky. We have had a lot of stability. There's no doubt about that. But, look, sometimes things happen and you have to make changes. Like any other position, do the best you can. You know, Steve Gostkowski is one of the greatest kickers of all time. He's been great for this franchise. Unfortunately, he's not available, so we'll move on. And Mike's done a good job. He has a lot of experience. I mean, I have a lot of confidence in Mike, or we wouldn't assign him. It's different than Steve, yeah. We'll see how it goes. But if you're not going to put him out there, then you shouldn't have him on your team at any position, whatever that is. So if you don't have confidence in the player, then you should get somebody else you have confidence in and put them out there. So like Mike will do a good job, but we all have to prove it every week. That's the way it is for all of us.
He believes that Steven Gostkowski is one of the best kickers of all time. And yet in the same answer, he is saying, not available. Got to move on. That's end of the story. What do you want me to say?
That's that stoic in him. That's how he treats everything. Yeah. I would be interested to see. It doesn't surprise me that he says that about Gostkowski, but I bet if you go back, you're going to find very, very few Patriots that he would ever
Gostkowski.
Say is the greatest of all time at
would
anything.
Did he say that about Brady?
I think he has said it about Brady.
Has he?
Yes. I believe he has. I don't know if he said it at a podium. Because, he said it in an appearance.
He doesn't have to say it about Brady.
Well, this hundred.
Obviously, right.
He doesn't have to say
100 best players like he did with Chris Collinsworth.
He doesn't have to say it about Gostkowski. He doesn't have to say it about anybody.
When is this all getting revealed?
It's a good question, though. I'm not sure. And Beto, you're right. He doesn't have to say it about anybody. But the fact that he said it about the kicker that a lot of people have had complaints about for the last 5 weeks, I'm just saying it's rare praise from Belichick.
Right.
You don't dismiss it and say, he says that about everybody, because he doesn't.
And that's the thing, too, where he knows the players are quiet. They know what's going on, but they're not going to say anything. And I think he appreciates that, the way they've been able to internalize whatever Steve's been dealing with. So Bill knows it.
I bet greatest of all time players that he's coached, that he is called, quote unquote, among the greatest of all time, would be Brady, Lawrence Taylor, and who else? I mean, he's not saying it about Teddy Bruschi. He's not saying it about Willie McGinnis. He's not saying it about, I don't even know if he said it about Rob Gronkowski. He may have. That would be the one that would be obvious. But I'm just saying, that's rare praise from the head coach there.
I thought he called him an all-world tight end once.
That's a good point.
Yeah, how are we feeling about Mike Nugent? Probably.
I think he's probably the best of the options that they brought in.
Are you sure?
Why, are you looking at, you like the trick shot guy? I would assume that you love the trick shot guy.
No.
You want Youngway?
I actually said yesterday that I would not take trick shot guy because trick shot guy had never played in the NFL.
Okay, so what's your argument for whoever you like best?
I'd rather take the veteran. Give me the veteran. Because if he's not going to kick off, just let him work on PAT field goal. And did you hear what Bill said there, too? Hey, he's not Steve. Okay. So what that's telling you is they're going to change. And we talked about this yesterday. Your plus 40 to plus 30 offense is different now on third down.
Oh, yeah. I think the approach changes.
Josh, we need two plays here because we're probably going to go unless we get the ball to 28 or 26.
But so at the same time, it depends on what your offense looks like. If you can't run it, and they have not been able to run it through four weeks, are you going for it on fourth and one? Or are you kicking the field goal? It's a difficult question.
Depends how long it is. That's the point, yeah.
So
if you're at the 39, you're probably going for it. If you're at the 32, you're probably going to kick it.
Your short yardage has been okay, actually, this year. Third and short, they've been fine. But it's not been a great situation in terms of, you know, being physical and overpowering teams at the line of scrimmage this year. So if you start to go for it on fourth and three, you better feel good about it. You better feel good about whatever it is you got planned, because the field goal might actually be the better option given how your offense has looked so far this year in some of those situations. I just think, Beto, it's the veteran guy, as Zoe said. He's also the guy who's kicked outdoors the most. Your most important games this year are all going to be outdoors. You got Kansas City at home. The Super Bowl is outdoors this year. Playoffs, you're going to be outdoors, I would think, unless something drastic happens and they end up in, I don't know,
Houston,
Indianapolis, or Houston. I mean, I think that's unlikely. But 144 of his 162 games have been outdoors. 81% outside. Slightly better than.
That's good.
Adam Vinatieri.
I hadn't factored in the indoor-outdoor stuff, so that's a good point.
Adam Vinatieri is 80.6% outdoors for his career. Nugent is 81.
I thought Kai Forbath would have had a better shot of getting the gig, but he obviously
not as much outdoors. He's been fine outdoors.
Part is a good point.
The outdoor stuff has been fine. He's made 87% of his kicks outdoors, but he's got 200 fewer attempts than Nugent. 200.
I think that if Nugent comes in and he's not good over the first couple of weeks, he will quickly be gone.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they'll hesitate to move from somebody.
Sure.
There's a reason these guys aren't employed right now.
Yeah.
They could be shuffling through multiple kickers this year. That would not shock me.
One more segment with Phil Perry coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
The telephone number. Phil Perry is with us, and we're talking Patriots with him. We got open phone lines. If you'd like to grab one,
yeah,
do it right now. We got RJ Bell coming up in about 8 minutes.
Where's Ken and Lowell? Friday, football Friday.
I don't
Come
know.
Come on, Ken.
We do have Paul in Rhode Island who want to talk some football with Phil Perry. What's up,
football?
Paul? Paul, go ahead. Turn the radio down.
Polly.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to hang up on him. If he calls back, tell him have a great weekend.
I blame you. I blame you, Jimmy. You intern.
Not his fault.
Yeah. Interns, they've had a bad week.
Had a bad week screening calls.
Not his fault. How's it his fault?
Big Nate, he was upset with himself the other day.
When he left.
Johnny and Winthrop has a Bruins stop, but he's been hanging on, so we'll take it, even though Phil's here. You want to talk a little
Bruins? I can talk Bruins.
Talk a little Bees, Phil? Johnny, what do you got?
Talk down to me that way.
Johnny?
It's Friday.
Why us? Johnny? Johnny's not there.
Goodbye.
Uncle Freddy isn't there.
Where's Uncle Freddy?
This is going well.
That was a good one. Uncle Freddy.
Uncle Freddy died.
All right. Well, I tried. I made
it was a good effort.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Redskins. How big of a blowout are we looking at this weekend, Phil?
I don't think it's going to be the blowout people think it's going to be. I think you're looking at probably a 24-3 kind of game. I mean, that's a blowout. That's a blowout. But it's not. I think people are thinking they're going to score 30 points each of the next 3 weeks.
I guess it's going to be tough to get to that point too. I agree with you on that.
I think they've got some things going on offensively. I'm going to have a story up in a little bit on NBCSportsBoston.com because both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick alluded to the fact that now that they are a month into the season, there's enough data. We know what Bill Belichick said last week about analytics, but there's enough data, there's enough evidence that they're just not good at certain things. And there are going to be certain things that they're going to have to throw out, which is, those are the words Brady used.
Offensively. Play-wise.
Defensively, I think everything they've done has been pretty good. But offensively, there are some pages in that playbook that may get ripped out and fired off into the sun.
You know what really doesn't look good is that when they max protect it and they block it up and do a little motion or cross and they run that two-man combo route, whether it's up through the formation and the drag, Brady's throwing a bunch of those away. Like, guys are beating their head against the wall.
That hasn't
max
been good.
Max protect, I love the protection.
Do you think it's because it takes too long to develop for
them? It takes too long to develop and they're not running past people.
Like, they just don't have that kind of element in their passing game right now. I would say the running game, though, is probably where I would look most closely.
Every throw is contested now, which is laboring.
And that's kind of how they built their offense, though, which has been interesting to me. I mean, look at all the receivers they brought in. They're all contested catch guys. N'Keal Harry, Cameron Meredith when he was here. Josh Gordon's a contested catch guy. Jacoby Myers is a contested catch guy at NC State. So that part is interesting.
I could see him having a big week, believe it or not.
I could, too. They got, listen, their most efficient offensive sets have been their receiver-heavy sets. We're talking about the depth that they have there or really don't have. Still, 11 personnel, which is three receivers, 10 personnel, which is four receivers, those have been their best formations this year. Throwing out of 21 with two backs and one tight end has been good, too. But it's the receiver-heavy stuff that they've been really good at this year. And so it wouldn't shock me to see more Jacoby Myers. I think they probably should be playing Jacoby Myers more. I wouldn't be shocked if Philip Dorsett had a nice week. We do a fantasy column on NBC Sports Boston every week. I think if you're a daily league person, Philip Dorsett is a buy low guy. 9 targets last week. You're going to see something similar this week against a really bad secondary. So passing game kind of is what it is. I would say the running game, they need to stop with the outside stuff. So outside zone specifically, I went back and tracked it, believe it or not.
Not unless 87 is coming to help you block on the edge.
Nope. That's the thing. So you don't have a tight end. You've got moving parts at tackle. It's hard to run to the edge. Shocker. 18 outside zone runs I counted for Sony Michel. 21 yards. 18 carries, 21 yards on those plays. That's a play that you might want to stop running. I mean, you could say to yourself, listen, this is part of our identity. This is what we want to do. We want to be tough. We want to run the football. At some point, you got to stop banging your head against the wall. So they've been fine running with Burkhead. Burkhead helps this offensive line because he's quick. So you don't need room at the point of attack.
He's not healthy.
He doesn't stay healthy, and he's not healthy right now.
Yeah, like last week in the game that he had a couple of times where he sort of hit the sideline and was still working out something with that foot.
Something
ankle,
with the foot.
Leg,
he's still limited this week.
Whatever it might be.
They're telling us it's a foot.
Yeah. Oof.
So
paw.
But he's been the better runner because he can make somebody miss at the line of scrimmage and then go and pick up 4 yards. Sony Michel isn't doing that. He just doesn't have that ability to make guys miss in the phone booth, so to speak. So,
quickly, before we let you go, what'd you make of the Kyle Van Noy comments on Rodney Harrison?
Interesting. I felt like his comments after the fact in the locker room yesterday were even more interesting because Kyle is a guy who he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And I thought after being asked a couple of times, he might eventually just crack and say what it was that was going on there. But he didn't. He went the other way, and he said, well, no, I don't want to be compared to a safety, which is, I understand that, Kyle.
He's trying to kill it.
It's odd.
That's trying to kill it.
Didn't feel somebody, like what you were talking about.
Oh, he's trying to kill the story.
Of course he is.
Because I think he's been told to kill it.
When somebody's been told that you're being compared or flattered to be compared with the most recent player inducted to the Patriots Hall of Fame like 2 months ago.
Well, that's one thing, though.
But if he doesn't, please don't do that. He's a safety.
No. Well, what did he say to you guys? I thought he said, "Don't compare me to that guy."
Yes,
definitely not that.
He
guy.
Does. He
definitely
does.
Not that yes. guy.
Definitely not.
How
that
do you
guy.
Not see that as singling that
no.
guy out?
And he
oh,
said,
because he's a safety.
He does things his way. I do things my way.
Yeah, he's because like, we don't way. Do things the same way.
I'm sure Rodney takes shots at everybody. So I'm sure, and he I has bet. Been for about 10 years now as a member of the media.
And based on what
I'm sure
Florio
at some
said,
point. He said something Rodney's that Kyle pissed. Van Noy didn't like. That's my guess. And that's where you're getting that from.
And that's why Florio's like, I know Rodney's a friend of mine. And Florio doesn't double down on that if he's not pissed.
I just thought it was kind of funny because, again, he's pretty much unfiltered. Relative to other guys in that locker room, Kyle Van Noy kind of says what he wants. And so I thought yesterday might say, you know what? I just, you know, there have been some Kill things it. Said and I didn't appreciate him, but he has his job to do. I have mine. That's sort of why I said what I said, but I didn't really want to say anything more than that. That's sort of more what I expected, not the, well, he's a safety and I'm a linebacker, and why does everybody have to be compared to everybody else nowadays?
He could easily
I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah.
Just because of who he is and what his track record is interacting with us. He's always spoken freely, but that didn't feel like it was
He knows you come on with us, it's gonna get out there, and I think he wanted, sounded to me, it sounded like he wanted to say something, but then he's, yeah, you know, I'm just done. on the back. Like, he does it his way, I do mine.
He's talking it back.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing in the locker room, talking it back. Trying to kill it.
Yep.
He just wants to kill it and move on.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It probably will. Redskins, I mean, it's not a huge deal.
It's not.
Like, no, it's not a huge deal.
Not everybody has to like everybody else.
But the team's rolling. It's Redskin week, and hey.
Good week to do it. Redskins suck. Going to win the game. Well, they're going to win.
Oh, yeah. Of course they're going to win. I was going to say it might not have been a great week to do it because nobody cares about the matchup or anything. Like, we haven't talked at all about anybody on the Redskins because it doesn't really matter.
They don't even have a quarterback. All right, Phil. See you later on, bud.
Sounds good. Football fix.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Nobody has more fun, Hardy.
See you there.
Nobody.
You got to fix it.
What are you fixing?
It's not.
It's pretty self-explanatory, Zoe.
This is how it was explained to me. When I had the idea of the football fix-it shop with the aprons and the counter and the tools, they said, no.
Strings.
It's more like heroin. And what you're doing, you're by fixed. Watching tonight at 6 o'clock, it's essentially visiting a methadone clinic, but for
it's a football
your enjoyment of football.
Right.
Is that how the network wants
it
described?
Sit down in front of your TV and you get your fix.
In fact, I've told them that they should put that in the guide. On your cable box?
No.
Put that right there when you hit info.
Put that word football fix inside a syringe. And have that just as your
put
new
right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right to my veins. Right in my veins, it should say.
Hardy, put the football fix on a spoon and be lighting up with a lighter to spoon the bottom of it.
I'm not sure that's how the network wants it to be portrayed, but
they're calling football fix.
Network executives. What the hell do they know? We'll talk to RJ Bell from Vegas in 90 seconds.
By next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.